Blackhawks Live.
Fire! Score!
Go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio.
Patrick Kane in the Lightning zone. He shoots and scores! Patrick Kane from the high slot!
Time to talk hockey.
I like the effort. Win or lose, I like the effort.
Time to talk Hawks.
Everyone's excited. Everyone's upbeat after that one. And nice to get 2 points on a night like tonight, too.
It's time for Blackhawks Live.
DeBrincat twisting and turning down the slot. He digs and shoots. He scores!
Ho-ho! Here's Joe Brand with Chris Bowden.
Hello, Chicago!
It's go time!
Well, the magic number is now 3. And no, unfortunately, that's not for a postseason berth. That is the number of shows we got remaining here. Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. And Chris, only 3 more shows that we get to talk about Blackhawks hockey.
We would have liked to have done more.
We would have.
Extended this into May and whatnot. But unfortunately, the postseason drought continues. Hoping you would have changed the luck this year, Joe, as pre and post.
I had
a nice 4-year drought. as soon as I got the gig, no playoff hockey.
And that
That would have been the only time I would have traveled too. Well, yes, the one exception with the asterisk was the bubble, but nobody was going to the bubble.
You're much more than an asterisk, though, Chris Bowden. Yes.
Just the first part of that, I think. The first part of that word.
3 more left. It's crazy to think, but a lot of the highlights from the great Ernie Skatton during that Open came from Thursday night's game, last Thursday night, a fantastic ceremony for the great Pat Foley, who was riding off onto the sunset, or as Nick Olchek put it, out into the 18th tee, as he has now concluded his career as the Blackhawks television announcer. What a cool day at the United Center. What a cool ceremony. The Hawks always do such a good job with all that. And they were able to put the cherry on top and 2 points with a shootout win. I loved your tweet how you were saying the hockey gods want Pat Foley to just broadcast hockey a little bit more.
The Blackhawks just stretch that out as far as, you know, how about like a 20-round shootout? That would have really
bring
been
in
the cherry
Seabrook.
On top.
Bring in Hossa.
That would have really put the cherry on top. But yes, unfortunately, the Blackhawks lose a 4-2 lead in that third period against the Sharks. But I guess there was stars aligning there in order for Pat to continue stretching out his time on the microphone. And in the end, they ended up sealing the deal with the Cat taking care of business on one end and Kevin Lankinen and doing the job on the other.
The other big news from that game was Jonathan Toews' comments kind of calling out his team, saying, you know, we're playing at the United Center, we're playing in front of 20,000 people a day, and we got to give them our all. There's no reason we should be taking games off. And really, since those comments, the Blackhawks have been putting up, for the most part, solid efforts against some good teams. They beat the San Jose Sharks. They fell to Nashville on Saturday by just 1 goal. And then even last night's game, a 5-2 loss, does not tell the story of how it happened. We were kind of chatting before the show, and it was kind of a weird game because the start wasn't the greatest, but everyone seemed to have made adjustments, including Kevin Lankinen, because he didn't cough up another goal after allowing his third on 12 shots on goal in that first period. And that's at least what you like to see with a team that's heading into a rebuild, or part of a rebuild now, is adjustments being made mid-game and being very competitive against a very good team for the most part.
Well, let's see if Kevin can spring. You know, we've been saying this for weeks now, pretty much since the trade deadline, since Marc-Andre Fleury, and we'll talk about him in a moment too, that Kevin was going to get the bulk of the starts, 9 of the last 11 now, and it's still been a bit of a roller coaster, but 2 of those 3 goals in the first period, you can't really blame him. Yes, maybe the elite goaltenders stop maybe one of those 2 redirects. Just some tough luck there with between traffic and some great redirects by a very impressive Calgary team. But and then 2 empty net goals after that. So and he made some highlight reel saves. I think he was even one of the top 10 on SportsCenter with the one save he made off the blocker, I believe it was. So. You know, I don't know how many of the more of these that Kevin's going to get, although the games, you know, we have a back-to-back Arizona and L.A. coming up tomorrow and Thursday, and then Saturday, Monday, we'll see if he gets, I would imagine, probably 4 of those 6 at least. And
I would think so, yeah.
Well, yeah, one last, upgrade on his resume reel, perhaps, trying to impress the bosses here. And if they decide that they want to start looking elsewhere for the goalies, and there are, the Blackhawks' goaltending situation is pretty much free agency across the board within the system here. They have to do some other shopping in the offseason if it's not the guy.
You bring up an interesting point because, Arizona on Wednesday, or tomorrow rather, and then L.A. on Thursday. And Colin Delia's best game of the year came against the Kings in L.A., which mm-hmm. was very close to his hometown.
I imagine you get another crack at that.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting. Do they want to go that route? Would you throw in Colin Delia against maybe a lesser opponent of the Arizona Coyotes? It's all, you don't know. You don't know what Derek King is thinking. Blackhawks kind of banged up right now, too. That's the other thing. As of yesterday, Derek King said it didn't really look like Kirby Dach was going to go on the road trip. Mackenzie Entwistle might be a little bit questionable because he left yesterday's game in the first period after taking a hard hit from Trevor Lewis. But I believe both their right shoulders. Mm-hmm. You'd really like to see Kirby Dach finish out the year strong. You'd really like to see Mackenzie Entwistle for different reasons for both guys. But there's so much talk, so much thought about the future pieces of this rebuild. And those are guys you'd really like to see kind of finish out. So kind of an unfortunate ending. And it's, again, there's still six games left. We don't know what's going to happen. But if it is the end of the season for them. And Connor Murphy, to a regard in that point, too. The Hawks are a little bit banged up right now.
Yeah, and I think there's some consideration now, even though Connor's back on the ice, whether, to let him come back before the end of the season. The Blackhawks certainly have enough young defenseman options, but they also have to take into consideration, what some of these kids can do down at Rockford. Should they be able to earn a playoff berth? And the magic number, I think, is 5 going into tonight's game against the Wolves, who I think are leading the AHL, but the Ice Hogs have been very successful against, have some of these young defensemen. They will in time return to the Ice Hogs if they make the playoffs, but have some of these young defensemen get some exposure here at the top level. And to be quite honest, the guy we're talking to a little bit later on here and Alec Regula, yes, there are fits and starts with all these very young defensemen, but here's a couple of guys with size and have been playing pretty darn well of late. Even Vlasic last night, he saved a goal that was ready to trickle in, but he jumped on top of it on the crease and was able to clear it out. So you like to see these steps moving forward, even though it's an inexact process with such young defensemen at this level.
Alec Regula picking up his first NHL goal as well in yesterday's game. Pretty cool story that his mom made it a last-minute decision to head on over to the United Center. Our guest this week will be Alex Vlasic, and we're going to talk to him actually about that transparency between Kyle Davidson and these young players, between Derek King and these young players, and how this is just my observation, but everyone just seems to be on board. We haven't even gotten to the topic of Lucas Reichel being sent back down to Rockford yet. But that is not a surprise. And I think the only surprise that has come recently is the fact that he hit his 10th game, which burns the opening year of his entry-level contract. That's a whole other conversation in itself. I do see the upside of him playing more than 9 games, more so than I do see the downside, considering where the Blackhawks are in their state, their financial ties for the next couple of years, and how that entry-level contract would really affect them in a couple of years. But again, Kyle Davidson and Derek King have talked so much about how valuable the Rockford Ice Hogs are right now for this team because they're on a playoff push. This is a perfect opportunity for those young players to go down there, play some competitive playoff atmosphere-like hockey, if not even getting to the postseason. Mm-hmm. And Alec Regula, when he got called up the other day, he was saying, I'm kind of excited to go back down to the AHL. He's like, it's a little weird saying it,
right.
But you understand. And our buddy Troy Murray was like, I think that's cool. I think that's cool that he's ready to go back down and play those winning type hockey games. And unfortunately, that's just not the situation with the Hawks right now. But it's a unique situation. It seems like the Blackhawks are taking advantage of it. But more importantly, they're being transparent with these young guys, which it could be very easy to see these young guys get very greedy, get self-centered, be like, no, I want to play. I'm here in the NHL. I need to make a name for myself. I need to be on the NHL ice. And they just, they understand. And I think that's going to be important for the next couple of years in this rebuild.
Yeah, and while they've been kind of spoon-feeding some of these young defensemen, giving them a taste and seeing how they react to the NHL, by the same token, the guys that they are bringing up, it's been interesting watching, you know, who gets the promotions here during the course of the season, because we haven't seen Ian Mitchell for a long time. We haven't seen Wyatt Kalinick for a long
Isaac
time.
Isaac Phillips.
Or Nicholas Beaudin. And I'm sitting here looking at some of the numbers heading into tonight's game that some of these young defensemen have had. Derek King a while ago said, it's all based on merit, how they're playing down there, and then we'll bring them up. So you knew Regula and Vlasic were doing good things with their opportunities. Phillips through 57 games, 8 goals, 12 assists, a plus one. Kalinuk through 45 games. I think he was banged up a little bit because he hasn't had a whole lot of time up here. Kalinuk, 7 goals, 14 assists, a minus 7. Ian Mitchell, 53 games down there, 10 goals, 23 assists. So he's finding a little bit of offensive rhythm down there. And a couple of the other guys, Beaudin, 2 goals, 10 assists. And Jakub Galvis, he has also 2 goals, 15 assists down there. So it's quite a logjam. There's also a logjam up here with, you know, a handful of veteran defensemen who are under long-term contracts. And, you know, once the Blackhawks season ends, if there is enough roadway for a playoff run for the Rockford IceHogs, Regula and Vlasic will certainly go down there and they'll be in the mix. And hopefully all these guys can contribute to, you know, winning a round or two in the Calder Cup playoffs.
There were some pretty interesting comments made by Marc-Andre Fleury earlier today about next season and him possibly playing. We'll get to that and a few other things later on. Alex Vlasic is our guest this week. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN.
Wrights was all right. You know, he showed a couple things out there. You know, he's getting there. He needs to get stronger. He needs to win more puck battles and what have you, and play with some pace. He's not skating as fast as he can. So he's going to go down. He's going to go back down to Rockford, and he's going to get some meaningful hockey in and help them, because they got a couple bodies are banged up now.
Derek King kind of had a quick trigger with that news.
Oh, by the way. Well, he volunteered it.
He did.
A lot of times coaches won't do that.
Right. Well, that's why I say it. Not that it was wrong. It's just it often doesn't happen in that order.
You know what Joel would have said? Is Lucas going back to the minors? We'll see.
We'll see more on that.
Possibly.
I bring that up because Joey Zakhchevsky's Twitter later on that day was, well, per Derek King, we're getting Lucas Reichel back. And then the Blackhawks officially announced the news earlier today. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. We've got Alex Vlasic, the young defenseman, coming up after the 7:30 news. Marc-Andre Fleury earlier today, and this is coming from his agent's Twitter, which this is probably the 500th time we've brought up Alan Walsh on this show, tweeted out Fleury's quote, "I would like to play at least another season. I decided that recently. I still love to play. I still have fun. My body is still holding up most of the time." Laughs. "So yes, another season, and then we will see after." That's kind of a different tone than earlier this year. He never officially ruled anything out earlier this year about playing next season. He wasn't even entirely sure if he wanted to leave Chicago, but based on the comments from Kyle Davidson and the fact that he was moved, Marc-Andre Fleury wanted to go to a different team for a chance to win. I don't know if I see him coming back to Chicago next year.
No,
I would love to. I would love to. I think his family's still here. They got to be. If anything, he's probably willing to do another year to go and chase the wins record, whether it's a long shot or not. And I don't know if that's, I don't know if living in Chicago is enough to be the Blackhawks goaltender during a rebuild, if that is why he is aspiring to continue his career.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure there would be limited possibilities. Maybe he's just got some juice going now that he's back in a playoff race.
True.
With the Minnesota Wild, although, you know, Cam Talbot continues to play well for them, and you know, he'll certainly get his opportunities. that's just going to be a bang-bang first-round playoff series between the Wild and the St. Louis Blues, who, by the way, are coming in with a 9-game winning streak and are 11-0-1 in their last 12. They're hosting Boston tonight. But I think there would be a very finite number of teams that he would go to, you know, perhaps go, depending on how the Penguins do and their right. goaltending situation turns out. Maybe he goes back there for one final swan song if it turns out to be a rough playoff once again for Casey DeSmith and Tristan Jarry. And it's kind of unbelievably the Vegas Golden Knights are going to miss the playoffs. Now, yeah. I know that they have had a ton of injuries to key players this season, but barring a miracle, you know, they're sitting here on the outside looking in with 87 points, 4 points behind Nashville and Dallas, and they have one less game in hand, and they let a golden opportunity last night against New Jersey at home slip away without gaining any points in that contest. And I think they have a pretty rough schedule the rest of the way, too, playing a couple of contenders or teams battling it out. So would he go back to Vegas for one more year? Robin would not like that, though.
No. I know the Vegas fans would love it. Yep. Pete DeBoer was pretty critical of Robin Lehner after yesterday's loss to the New Jersey Devils. Vegas is chasing L.A., right?
Yeah, technically, I think they have a better chance, really, of tracking down
or at least L.A.'s in front of them in the playoffs. Because I heard the Kings don't have any opponents that are heading to the playoffs for the rest of the season. The Blackhawks are one of them.
Yeah, and so L.A. has 90 points in third in the Pacific. Vegas sitting there with 87. So I think they have a much better chance the way Nashville and Dallas have been playing, even though Dallas lost last night in Vancouver. The way those two have been playing, I see them locking down those two wild card spots. So I think Vegas has to set its sights on the LA Kings, who are kind of the surprise team in the West this year.
And Vancouver, just a point behind the Vegas Golden Knights, the Bruce Boudreau Kool-Aid that everyone was drinking. It's going to be really interesting to see where Marc-Andre Fleury would go. I think the Pittsburgh rumors would just happen immediately. I don't see Vegas based on how
it would be messy.
Acceptable they were from moving on from Fleury with Robin Lehner, and they still had him for another year.
The other thing is, I don't think Alan Walsh would allow.
That's true.
Fleury to go back to Vegas after that sword was in the back of his back
for sure
during the playoffs.
Man,
a couple
theoretically
of years ago.
And actually on his wardrobe too. Right. Wow, I wonder if that's what went into the thinking with the Vegas uniform. This weird comparison I just thought of not too long ago. But the Minnesota Wild getting Marc-Andre Fleury reminds me of the White Sox getting Craig Kimbrell last year. Like, our goaltender's doing. I mean, clearly you got to go. You got to get the extra goal, the extra piece that has winning success and playoff success. And how are we going to be stopped now? And now it's just, oh, who do we use? But I think that's a good problem to have when you get into the playoffs. And don't forget, Blackhawks fans, you are Minnesota Wild fans this year because you would like to see them make it all the way to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and Minnesota and St. Louis are both playing right now. You know, St. Louis comes in with what, a one-point lead on Minnesota.
Nine-game winning streak.
Minnesota and Montreal are tied at one right now in the second, and St. Louis has a 1-0 lead on Boston in the first period. And by the way, a couple guys we just mentioned, the Ice Hogs are playing the Wolves in Rosemont. Isaac Phillips scored to put the Ice Hogs up 1-0 midway through the first period. The primary assist going to Lucas Reichel. It was a short trip after last night's game to go into Allstate Arena and join the Ice Hogs here tonight.
And it did not take him too long to get right back in the score sheet. Mm-hmm. Alex Vlasic is our guest after the 7:30 news. He's a Wilmette guy. He actually grew up a Sharks fan, not a Blackhawks fan. He talks about that and how his sister had a huge impact on his hockey career. After the news with David Jennings next.
Welcome back into Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN. We're sitting with Alex Vlasic, young defenseman of the Chicago Blackhawks, and a hometown kid from Wilmette. And Alex, what's it been like to, you know, be back here at home, kind of live that home life, but also be an NHL player at the same time?
I mean, it's like you said, it's kind of weird just being able to, you know, live on my dream playing the NHL, but at the same time just still kind of have my roots as a kid, like going home on off days and stuff. It's pretty unique, and it's something special that I definitely don't take for granted. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, dream come true, and it's just a surreal thing to happen.
I remember you saying earlier, maybe it was the last time you were at the United Center before you came here to actually play. You came as a Sharks fan because your cousin was obviously on the team and you were getting booed. So what's that transition like to be booed at the United Center and then to be cheered at the United Center?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, I was a big fan of my cousin growing up, and you know, he kind of honestly instilled a lot of our dreams to play in the NHL, to play like professional hockey, is like me and my sister and my brother. And so to be able to finally kind of play against him, and you know, that was always a goal of mine, to be able to play in the NHL and play against him. So yeah, it was just crazy. It hasn't really sunk in yet. I think it kind of did for my family, just being up in the stands and seeing it from there. It's a little different, but for me, I'm just really kind of focused on hockey and like playing well.
How has this transition been for you? It seems like you're pretty much on an incline of growth and talent, and you know, getting more experience. How have you been feeling out there?
Yeah, I feel really good. I'm starting to feel way more confident with the puck. You know, first couple of games, super nervous, kind of always just looking down at the other team's bench, looking at their players, and wondering like what I'm going to do to defend. You know, because every team has like a top player in the NHL, so it's pretty crazy to play against like the best players in the world. But now it's just kind of not necessarily worrying about like the atmosphere or the other team, just focusing on what I do best and kind of trusting my instincts. Like, that's kind of what a lot of people, like players and coaches, had told me first coming in, like, just play your game, like trust, like believe in yourself. And none of that really kind of registered with me right away, and now it's kind of like everything takes a while to adapt, and like you got to adapt to the speed and like the strength and like the IQ of every player. But once you do, it's just kind of like do the thing that got you here in the first place.
It just seems like with you, Lucas Reichel, Reese Johnson, Alec Regula, everyone's understanding of what the front office is doing. It seems like there's a lot of transparency with Kyle Davidson and you guys, Derek King and you guys, you know, whether it's going down to Rockford or not playing that much. But it just seems like you guys are on board with that, and you trust how they feel your development should go. Do you get that sense, and has that helped your confidence?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've obviously been in the industry for quite a long time, and it's a very successful organization, one of the most successful in the NHL. So, yeah, just having trust, having belief in, you know, the coaching staff or whoever it is up top, like Kyle and people like that, just believing that, you know, what they're doing for us is right, what they think like is best for our development, and just kind of trusting in that system. Yeah, it's definitely pretty like easy to see that they understand like what we need to do.
Yeah, I mean, because anyone in your position or the other young guys that I mentioned, it could be, you know, no, I want to play. I'm here. I want to play. I want to show what I can do. But, I mean, does that surprise you how kind of easily you and those other guys have been taking that whole situation?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you know, it's coming from college, you know, being a top guy on my team, kind of playing like a big role, having a letter, being a big, you know, part of that team, and then coming here, you're put in a different, like, totally different scenario where, you know, you're not necessarily that big, like, big part of the team right away. You kind of have to earn your spot, earn your role, and it's all just kind of about, like, you know, it's a business at the end of the day, so you kind of have to understand that and understand that, like, what's best for the team comes first. But, you know, I think it's just a privilege to be here, and, like, whenever things aren't going your way or whenever you're not playing, like, it's, you just got to remind yourself you're still in the NHL, and it's just, like, a dream come true no matter what.
What has been some of the coolest things about that dream coming true and being in the NHL?
I mean, I don't know. I think just playing, you know, obviously playing with, like, Kane, like, Taze, Jones, like, all those players, it's super, like, it's just weird almost because it doesn't feel real. But yeah. I think, honestly, just playing against, like, some of the other players in the league, playing against, like, playing in some of the rinks of other teams. Like, we went to Nashville, like, Vegas. I didn't play the Vegas game, but just the atmosphere in all these like NHL barns, it's like, it's crazy. It's unlike anything I've ever seen or experienced like in college or anything like that. Like Minnesota was crazy. But yeah, it's just like, I think that's the coolest part is just how different everything is and how like intense it is to play against like these unreal players.
Derek King has mentioned how you can benefit from, you know, going on those trips, even if you're not playing in those games. What have you benefited from those situations?
I think, you know, morning skates and stuff when teams, like, if you're not playing, if you're a scratch, like, you'll skate before the game, like, earlier in the day, or, like, if you have a day where the team's not practicing, a lot of times, like, you'll practice if you're on the road, if you're a healthy scratch. And honestly, just those, like, experiences skating with our skills coach, like, Brian Keane, and when I was in California, like, that trip, we went to Vegas as well. Tyler Johnson was still coming back from an injury, and I was able to skate with him and just learn so much from him, because that's kind of like the first week or 2 weeks, like when I was here, where things were just like adapting for me still. I wasn't really used to the speed of the play and like how smart everyone was, and he was like helping me kind of break down certain plays and like what, like, because he had been on Tampa Bay, obviously, like what Hedman had done, and like kind of learning from, it's just like unreal, like being able to learn from so many players that have like had so much success, and being able to like translate that into your game.
Talking with Alex Vlasic here on Blackhawks Live 720 WGN. Can you be a little specific in some of the better advice you've gotten from, whether it's Seth Jones or Jonathan Toews or anyone else on the team, something that's really stuck with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Riley Stillman, like, he would always kind of talk to me and just say, like, I forget exactly what the quote was. It was like, you don't have, or you have more time than you think, but not as much as you want. And I feel like that definitely stuck with me. Like, right when you get here, like, you're just worried, like, as soon as you touch the puck, somebody's going to be right on you. And a lot of the times it is like that, but, like, you definitely do. Like, you don't have to necessarily get rid of the puck right away, I find. Like, that's, like, the first couple of games, just so nervous, like, firing the puck right off my stick. Like, not really trying to make, like, a smart play with it. But I think now it's more like, yeah, like, you do realize you have more time with it. But, like, as soon as you kind of try to, like, mess around with it a little bit, guys are on you.
And that's funny, because I feel like Derek King, one of the first things he said about your game was how crisp your passing is as a defenseman. And I feel like that just makes you want to pass the puck a little bit more, too. So, I mean, that's got to feel good. That's got to help your confidence a lot to get that information and be able to use it so quickly.
Yeah, I think, like, being able to use that to my advantage. Like, obviously, I think I'm a pretty good skater for my size, but I'm not going to be a defenseman that's necessarily skating the puck every time I get it. So being able to kind of get the puck, you know, like, analyze my options and make a good first pass is what, you know, it's going to keep me here and hopefully keep me for a couple more years. But yeah, I think like a hard first pass is something that I pride myself in and will look to do a little bit more in my future.
Illinois and the Chicagoland area is a decent hockey area, but it's not the biggest. What about Illinois hockey, or just growing up here and playing the game, do you think allowed help your career the most, and how can it even evolve even more?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good youth hockey programs around here. Started off at the Wilmette Braves, like my hometown team. My dad was actually my coach. We like to joke around and say we had a dynasty team, because we won like all the tournaments we could have won in our might year, like Silver Stick State, like our league and everything. So it was pretty. That was a pretty fun year. I still remember that, and all the guys like that were on that team with were texting me when I signed and like playing my first games. Like, they keep coming to the games and stuff, so it's pretty funny like that. But yeah, I mean, in Mission, Chicago Young Americans, I played on those two teams. You know, over at the Mission, we had a good team, really good coaching staff, and they definitely helped me you know, take my game to the next level. But I think honestly my sister was a huge role in that as well. Just, she plays in the NWHL for the Connecticut Whale, and she was always a big role model for me, you know, dragging me outside to do sprints or something, or always making sure that I was staying on my toes with, like, workouts and stuff. So she's been a big role in all that, and definitely couldn't be where I am without her.
Your sister's older. What's her name?
Yeah, Emma Vlasic. She's 25.
Very cool. Yeah. Did you get peer pressure to play any other sports? I mean, have you always been this big, or did you have a growth spurt? Or?
I did play soccer growing up, just kind of because I think everybody pretty much did where I was like from. Like, you just play soccer till you're a little bit, like, you're 8 or 9 or whatever, and then you decide if you want to keep going. But I stopped. I switched to baseball. I liked baseball quite a bit. Switched between, like, first base, pitcher, but never really was a good hitter at all. Too big of a strike zone, wasn't coordinated enough for that. But no, like, I definitely wanted to play basketball, but it was always kind of the same season as hockey, so I never really got a chance to do that. But I did love playing, like, at recess or whatever in gym, and, like, just in our driveway all the time. So definitely wish I kind of looked into that, but I'm obviously happy where I am right now, so can't really complain.
Yeah, I think you're in a pretty good spot right now. That's Alex Vlasic. Alex, thanks so much for taking the time with us, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll have more Blackhawks Live coming up next, 720 WGN.
One last stop here on Blackhawks Live before we close out the penultimate show.
Wow.
I don't even know if that's the proper term.
I think that's the next to last. We have two left, right?
Well, that's why I called it the penultimate show.
Okay, penultimate times two.
That's what I said, the penultimate to the penultimate show. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. Final moments here of Blackhawks Live. Great conversation with Alex Vlasic. Big thanks to the Blackhawks for allowing that to happen. Great young kid. Big guy. It's really going to be fun to see him grow. I mean, I don't think up-wise, I think out-wise, where he'll start to fill into his body. But, you know, Chris, we've been talking about the Rockford Ice Hogs so much. They've got a 2-0 lead over the Chicago Wolves after a period. Goals by, actually, I already forgot who the first goal was scored by.
Isaac Phillips,
that's right. Somebody we already talked about. Mike Hardman scored the second goal. Very tricky goal. Left circle, his stick was over to the left, an awkward shot. But, 2-0 Rockford.
Well, yeah, you're doing the extra work, the play-by-play, checking out the actual highlight while I'm not. But, yeah, the Ice Hogs have had really good success this year against the Wolves, because the Wolves are leading the league. They have a 10-point clearance to the second-best point total in the league, and the Wolves have gone, 7-2-0-1 against the Wolves this season. So good on them. I remember a few years back in Jeremy Colliton's last full season in Rockford when he took the team to the playoffs. That was, I'm not sure if it was a first or second round matchup, but who knows? Maybe we'll see some of this again. The Joey Z, our buddy, sending out notes that the Ice Hogs can clinch. It's the magic number is 5, but there's a scenario where they could clinch as soon as tomorrow if they take care of business tonight and tomorrow in Grand Rapids. And Grand Rapids loses tonight, they could be clear for the playoffs. So, you know, hopefully get these young guys some postseason experience, a taste of that.
I want to say there was a game earlier this year Lucas Reichel had to leave because of a hard hit from the Wolves, and then he ended up scoring the game-winning goal in the shootout or something like that. One of the wins for the Rockford Ice Hogs over the Chicago Wolves. And the AHL is so screwy this year because they had been dealing with COVID, but they haven't been making up all their games. They've got the old school wins, loss, overtime losses, shootout losses, so it kind of goes down to winning percentage.
I thought math was not going to be a part of this job, but unfortunately it is way too
often. I'm explaining why it's not. That's what I'm saying. I'm basically over-explaining why it's too complicated 16, to explain it.
16-team playoff fields, 14 have clinched already, as I understand it, but 10 of those have come in the Wolves Conference, and only 4 in the opposite conference.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the AHL.com standings, and there's all the X's underneath the division that or the conference that the Wolves and the Hogs are in.
And I don't maybe we'll break this down on next week's show, because there are some really low percentage, but they've still clinched playoff spots. Yeah,
we might have to.
If Joey Z's off next Tuesday, maybe we should just get him, get a primer on how all this works.
Well, with that being said, Chris, I mean, 4 games, or I should say 6 games left. The next time we talk, there will be 4 games played. Anything to keep an eye out for in your eyes heading down the stretch?
Yeah, just see how these young guys continue to grow. Yeah, let's see how often they throw Vlasic in there. I know Derek King's kind of mantra has been you don't necessarily throw him out there every game, but let's see when he's given his opportunities. Same for Regula, what they can do with that. Good to see Tyler Johnson finally get a goal in the first time in forever. But it's been a long season for him in many ways. And let's see if we can get the Cat his 40th goal of the season. He's got 6 games to do it. If he does that, he would become just the 4th in franchise history to reach multiple 40-goal seasons before he was age 25. Jeremy Roenick did it a bunch of times. Al Secord was the other, and the third was Steve Larmer. So that would be joining some very elite companies. So hopefully the Cat can get that done here. I'm confident he can.
That would have been a great Boyke's question. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Chris.
We're out of Boikies, too.
Big thanks to our producer, Curtis Koch, our engineer, Brett Jackson, Alex Vlasic, for giving us some time, and the Blackhawks as well. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. Thanks for listening to Blackhawks Live.